Of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer.
Amen.
I was remarking to Hillary that it seems that I always get the fun passages of Scripture to preach. By the time this ours today, I'd like to share with you from this thought: don't fear the fox. Don't fear the fox. Luke chapter 9 sets the trajectory for the rest of the book. For it is there we find the words of Jesus echoing through the ages, in which Jesus sets his face towards Jerusalem. Luke's Jerusalem is different than Matthew's Jerusalem, for the Lucan account makes Jerusalem the center focus of the gospel. So if we take the gospel of Luke and the book of Acts, they function as a part one and a part two to Luke's narrative claim. So the thread that runs through both of them and what holds Luke's account together is the gospel of Luke and Jerusalem in particular. So Jerusalem, this space where Jesus says in the text is a place that requires weeping and other accounts, a place in which Jesus is deeply concerned about. This Jerusalem is a site, is a place, it is a symbol, and it's also a space for imagining. When Jesus looks at this Jerusalem context, he finds himself dismayed at what he sees. He sees a Jerusalem that is corrupt, a Jerusalem that is violent, a Jerusalem that is politically complicit in the oppression of those who have little. He finds in Jerusalem tremendous hope, for that is where God's presence was to manifest. But yet also in the presence of God, there is the moribund expressions of failed flesh. Oh, Jesus is concerned about this Jerusalem, my sister and my brother, because Jerusalem as a system represented what good life could be when one worships God and lives into the fullness of God's promise. But Jerusalem also represented what happens when people try to climb the tower of God with their own hands and their own feet. Jesus finds that in this hour in which he faces Jerusalem, he's also facing death. For Jerusalem and all its machinations and mechanisms is slowly ramping up Jesus' death machine, slowly building consensus to put our Lord and Savior to death. Jesus facing Jerusalem was no small feat, but as Jesus faces Jerusalem and he faces what lies before him, he also faces a fox. The text lets us know that there are Pharisees there, those adherents of the law. The Bible gives an ambivalent perspective about why they may be there and why they say what they say. They come to Jesus and say, "Jesus, you should leave now because Herod wants to kill you." That should send chills down the spine of the average preacher. For the Herodian Empire has found that blood and death and gore has been their claim to fame. Corruption and dissembling and manipulation has been their way to maintain and achieve power. So Jesus, if he was like you or I, would have been a little on the nervous side when the threats of death hover in the air. But what I appreciate about Jesus is that Jesus models for us behavior that we should engage in when we are presented with the foxes of our day. Now, if you think that foxes are not out and about in our day, that I'd hate to mislead you this morning. For Jesus making Herod this fox, he gives a characteristic portrayal of this leader. Eastern myth and Western myth have all had foxes in them. Western mythology has the fox as the trickster. Eastern mythology has the fox as the trickster with some other qualities as well. But what is consistent about the fox is that people don't trust it. What's consistent about a fox is that people are wary of seeing a fox, for they know ravaging outcomes are on the horizon. They know that what they've worked hard to build will soon be destroyed. They know when they see a fox, the way that they have seen the world previously will not be the same once the fox is finished. But that fox should not cause us fear, because Jesus models for us how we should handle it in our day. For if I was a young person and I was applying to a college and seeking to advance myself, this week would have crushed my spirit. If I was a parent, if I was a grandparent, if I was an auntie or an uncle who was putting money away for the child that I love's education, I would be a little concerned this week. For there is fox-like behavior that leaves our children unprotected, like the chicks in the text. There are people who are engaged in nefarious activity born out of their own insecurity about the state of our nation, so much so that they are willing to do whatever it takes to assure some sort of temporal advantage to make it in America. Now, we can villainize these people because we say, look, you already have money. And if you leave your children the money that you have, why are you worried about your child's future? But it seems to me that those who have money realize that money is just an illusion. They realize that money slips through one's fingers like sand. And they realize that building our hopes on things temporal will not get us to the eternal. So these parents cheat the system and cut the corners, spending upwards of $6 million to get their child into a school. We're not talking about paying tuition and buying a car and buying microwaves for the dorm room. But if I was a young person and I'm struggling to study and I'm struggling to find a future for myself, I'm looking for the jobs of tomorrow, but the jobs of today have yet to materialize. And you're telling me that the chance that I have to procure any type of future is being undercut at the fundamental level. I would be saddened this week, because the fox-like behaviors of people are doing their best efforts to leave me unprotected in this world. Now, if we're able to pan back and get a scope of the international scene, we find that the children of God all over the world seem to be unprotected by the threats and actualities of death. As we go to New Zealand and we see our sisters and brothers halfway around the world, as they go to worship like you and I, the foxes of this world seek to ravage those who are seeking to worship God and cut off their sustenance through the mechanism of fear. This cannot stand, my sister and my brother. Whether we hold their theological tenets as ours or not, the difference between them and ours is faint and scant. For we all worship God together, trying to find a way forward. But yet the foxes of this world seek to use the mechanisms of violence and fear, dissembling and anger, to undercut the life that God seeks to call into the world. Now, my sister and my brother, what good can I offer you? What can I say on this Sunday that would respect your time and your patience? What could I offer in this world in which foxes are loose and we assume that that's the way the world must function? We assume that when foxes are out, we must act like a fox to protect ourselves. We assume that in a world in which people are taking up arms, we must take up more arms as the church becomes an ever-expanding weapons race. I'm concerned, my sister and my brother, but Jesus gives us reasons not to fear the fox today. And we should be smart to engage those reasons ourselves. Number one, we should not fear the fox because death is certain. Death is certain. I don't want to be Debbie Downer or Dreadful Doug, but you will die. If you haven't thought about it lately, just want to put that on your mind. You and I will die. And as a Christian, that should not frighten us. For as a Christian, we understand to die is to change forms. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That's what we say, right? So why do so many Christians fear death when death is your friend? Jesus said, I'm not going to be dissuaded by the threats of death, the threats of violence on my life, because all violence can do is kill me one time. But how I live lives forever. My sister and my brother, the question isn't when you will die or the causes of your death. The question becomes, what kind of life are you living? Are you living a life that's scared of dying so you're incapable of living in the first place? If such is the case, then you are already made for the casket. For your life is slowly preparing you for a death that you've already embraced. Oh, how churches have embraced this feeling as well. As I preach near and far, I see churches who have embraced life. And I've also seen churches who are scared to die. They're scared to change forms and adapt to what God has for them next. How can the fear of death thwart you from doing God's will? Jesus did not allow death to hold him back. He embraced the temporality of this life and he said, if I will die, I will die doing the work of the kingdom. I won't die waiting for death to tap me with his cold, bony, chilly finger. So I suggest, my sister and my brother, that we embrace the reality of our finitude and then we live forcefully into that day, for that we may meet the yawning jaws of death with a triumphant song and a testimony. Secondly, we should not fear the fox because there's much work to be done. Notice Jesus didn't say, thank you for telling me that I got to go. Jesus said, no, tell that fox that I have things to do. And those things that I must do concern and consume me so that I have no time for distraction. Are you distracted by the things that don't matter? There is work to be done in our communities. There's work to be done in our city. There's work to be done in our nation. Lord knows there's work to be done in our state. Are we not focused on the task at hand because we've allowed the cares of this life to take us off of what we should be doing? Jesus said, I'm healing the sick and I'm exorcising demons. I am doing the hard work of the gospel. I'm doing the eternal, internal work of the gospel. Therefore, I cannot be dissuaded by mere threats. What is the work that claims your life and your soul? Why are you here instead of someplace else? Why has God touched you with the finger of love this morning, allowed your eyes to flap open to God's grace? What motivates you to live this life outside of 401ks? Outside of managing our wealth and managing the resources that we have, what am I investing in? Who am I helping to change? Or am I just living in vain? We should not fear the fox because we have protection that has been granted. This is why I love Jesus. Jesus says, tell that fox I'm not worried about any threats of violence. Then he goes on to unpack this metaphor by saying, don't worry about the fox. Oh, Jerusalem, have I sought to have gathered you as a hen brooding over these chicks. Now, how many of you are accustomed to the ways of the farm? If you, like me, are accustomed to the ways of the country, you realize that hens can be broody. When it's time to take care of even rocks sometimes, that broody feeling of having something to care for, when that feeling takes over, that hen will lay down its life to protect what it loves. Now, Jesus does not try to one-up the fox. He doesn't say, oh, how I seek to protect you all like lion cubs. For then he would have upped the ante. He would have said, I could be more violent than you to protect what I have. Jesus could say, you have a gun, I'm going to get a bigger gun. You have a knife, I'm going to get a sword. No, Jesus says, I am going to be a hen, which is in the realm of consumption for the fox. I am going to place myself in the ecological world of the fox to protect you, those who are running around seeking to find the way. You seeking to be faithful, you seeking to worship God, you who gather to live a life of effect and promise, you who are running around unprotected, I'm going to open my wings to protect you and bring you in. That protection, my friend, you cannot buy in a store. Your money won't afford you. That peace of mind, knowing that your soul is protected, not only in this life, but in the life to come, is a peace that cannot be purchased. It is not something that is easily found. But my sister, my brother, the choice is ours. For Jesus gives us some of the most foreboding verses in the Bible. Because he says, but you did not choose this protection. He already foresees Jerusalem's rejection of his ministry. He sees how they will greet him with a warm reply one day and then a chilly denial the next. He understands even his disciples will fail him. When he faced Jerusalem, he faced all of those things so that we can have the choice to not fear the foxes of our day. Yes, they prowl. Yes, they show their teeth. Yes, they conspire against those who are weak. But my sister and my brother, fear not, fret not, because our psalmist says, I would have fainted if I would not have believed I would have seen the goodness of the Lord now. We have a choice today, my sister and my brother. We can fear the fox. We can face this world courageously. The choice is yours. Amen.